This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL, Kenai Soldotna, 91.9 FM. I'm Jenny Nyman, and it's time for the Kenai Conversation. The Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District is working on updating a comprehensive economic development strategy for 2021 to 2026 that will aid in planning for the next 5 years. This strategy, in part, provides an overview of the Kenai Peninsula, its demographics, its economy, the strengths, the weaknesses, the challenges, the opportunities. That helps in directing policy, obtaining and distributing governmental funding, attracting new businesses to the borough, identifying roadblocks to development, and ideally, bettering quality of life in our neck of the woods. Developing this Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or CEDS, as you'll hear it called, has been going on since the summer. The Economic Development District is working with the folks at the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development to facilitate the process of developing goals to pursue for the next 5 years. On January 6th, the CAPED folks held an Economic Future Forum over Zoom, where they shared what they've come up with for the CEDS so far and asked participants for feedback. Following is an excerpt from that presentation, which gives a really interesting overview of where the Kenai Peninsula's economy is at now and goals for improvement in the next 5 years. We're not going to hear the breakout group discussions or the public participation parts because, well, radio is not Zoom. We don't have a raise hand feature. But on the bright side, you're also not going to hear any reminders to unmute yourself either. You can check out the draft CEDS document in its entirety on the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District's website, which is kped.org. To start with, here's Margot Fliss, Manager of Strategic Engagement for the Center of Economic Development, who moderated the Economic Future Forum.
Our objectives for today, obviously I'd mentioned we're going to do an economic overview, and then we have two objectives that are in regards to all of you. We would really love your feedback on the SWOT analysis. The SWOT analysis is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, and then feedback on the goals that have been developed. I wanted to pause and turn it over to Tim Dillon, Executive Director of CAPED. Welcome.
Thank you very much for joining us today. As most of you all know, CAPED is a private non-government resource that we look at things from the 30,000 foot level, and try and assist with economic development for the entire Kenai Peninsula. We're in the process of developing a 2021 to 2026 comprehensive economic development strategy, and getting public input and feedback is an essential step in that process. The purpose of this document is to aid in our planning for the next 5 years, and each of our individual communities and businesses for the next 5 years. The plan is meant to be a high-level overview. It's not meant to get down in the weeds. What do you use a CEDS for? Well, the CEDS really came into play around a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when, if you recall, we had the earthquake 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, the federal government is trying to figure out, how do we assist people? Well, the only places the money could be spent was on the Kenai Peninsula, Anchorage, and the Valley. Well, out of all of those areas, the only place that had a comprehensive economic development strategy that was on file with the federal government and is recognized by the federal government is CAPED. So we were able to then take that document along with the state comprehensive plan and assist the people that needed help, whether it was us helping John Moosey and the borough manager up in the valley, or the folks in Anchorage, or the people here in our backyard. So that's what you use the SIT for. I want to make sure you know that the information that you see today wasn't created in a vacuum, but it's been developed through a variety of stakeholder meetings. And again, this is a year-long process. We started it back in July. We've had a lot of people that have helped us get to this point. And remember, you're not going to agree with every last piece of this SEDS. Remember that we have over 50,000 diverse individuals and groups here in the peninsula. I'm so excited when I looked at the list of all the people that are participating today. We've got 80 some people from over in Seward to Hope to Tyonek to Seldovia and every place in between. So remember, we want you to be able to see yourself somewhere in the document, but remember, we're not going to get into the weeds, and you're probably not going to agree with every last little thing. So again, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for participating. And Nolan and Margo, let's get to it.
Thank you, Tim. Fantastic. We are jumping right into our economic overview of the Kenai Peninsula.
I'm Nolan Clauda. I direct the Center for Economic Development. So we have an agreement to help CAPED with the completion of their SEDS, of their Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, you know. And so part of what we do with a SEDS is it, you know, starts off a little bit with you know, taking stock of the current situation in the economy of the region. So what is the economy of the Kenai Peninsula looking like? What's the current state of things? And we have to look at that carefully in order to figure out, you know, where we're going. And so you know, this document, as I think Tim mentioned really well, is something that for one, it creates eligibility for certain kinds of federal money, and that matters a lot, you know, in the current environment where there's, you know, where there's been stimulus bills and stimulus spending and you know, if making sure that the Kenai Peninsula gets its you know, its share of that funding, but also, you know, as a sort of a aspirational document for the region, what is it that the peninsula, you know, wants to be? What do the residents and businesses and stakeholders on the Kenai Peninsula, you know, many of the folks in this room, where do you want to see the Kenai Peninsula economy develop, and in what ways? And I think that's a pretty important thing. So the SEDS, you know, it addresses some of these questions, you know, about what the assets are, what the goals are to pursue, how you accomplish these, and how you know if you might have achieved them in terms of what measures to use. But what I wanted to do is walk you guys through a little bit about the current economic situation, you know, what it's been like recently, how we got here, and where things might be going. So first off, you know, we've obviously been, you know, before COVID-19 hit our economy, ransacked our economy, if you want to look at it that way, we were, Alaska was in this kind of fragile state. We had had this three-year recession, you know, 2015 to 2018. You know, we were seeing each month, you know, in that three-year period, you know, we saw, you know, more jobs lost than jobs being added. So the state was gradually losing jobs during those 3 years. It was at the same time the national economy was doing very well with really record low unemployment, and so Alaska tended to be about the worst in the out of the 50 states for unemployment, even though there wasn't a dramatic crash. You know, it wasn't the 1980s, it wasn't anything like that, but it wasn't good either. It was a decline, and this is all about oil prices being fairly low, are being very low, and also oil production, you know, on sort of a longer term downward trend, especially as the North Slope fields, you know, reach their maturity. But so then, you know, we saw a bit of a recovery happen, you know, starting at the end of 2018 and all throughout 2019. But it was not a super strong recovery though. You know, we were in positive territory. So during that time, that 1 year that I've got highlighted there, we gained as a state about 2,000 jobs. And again, that's after losing, you know, almost 13,000 jobs. So at that pace we were on, we would get back to our 2015, you know, employment levels it was going to take about 7 or 8 years, actually. So, you know, it was recovering, but it was recovering pretty slowly. So then what happened is pretty brutal, right? COVID-19 really hit the economy very hard. And Alaska, it wasn't so different than most other places in the US and around the world. You know, we immediately saw pretty dramatic job losses. Where things stand now as a state, we're down, if you compare November of 2020 to November of 2019, you know, then we're down around 23,000 jobs. At times during the last several months, we've been down 40,000 jobs or more. So that might seem like a good sign. We're down fewer jobs than we were before, but also there's some seasonality effects too. The summer months tend to exaggerate the downward loss of jobs. So overall, you know, things not so, you know, at the moment, not terribly great. You know, we think the, you know, economic recovery since COVID hit in really hard in March, we haven't seen really a lot of very strong progress, and we probably won't until the virus is somewhat contained, which fortunately may not be that far off. We can say more about what's down the road. This is the comparable view for the what's defined as the Gulf Coast region of Alaska. And the Gulf Coast region of Alaska is predominantly the Kenai Peninsula. It includes Kodiak and the Valdez-Cordova census area too, but the Kenai Peninsula is about 3/4 of that. And so it's a pretty good indicator for the peninsula as a whole. This particular data set just breaks it down that way. So the Kenai Peninsula is down about 2,400 jobs, you know, from November to November. And you can see that's kind of comparable to the scale of what you see for the state as a whole. You know, again, the job loss rate seems to be improving a bit, but a lot of that is the seasonality of it. And then of course, along with that, you know, this explosion in unemployment that happened, the steep uptick there is what happened in March. These are the new unemployment claims. I always tell people that this is normally a very boring data set. It's just kind of a flat line that varies from, you know, 800 to 1,000 statewide for, you know, 1 week to the next. And it's not usually an indicator that we really watch all that closely. But when we, you know, when it gets exciting, when it gets interesting, that's bad news. That's when we go from 1,000 job claims in a week to 14,000, to 12,000, you know, to 10,000, you know, many times what we expect our baseline to be. And the number, you know, of new claims, you see that it dropped off as the weeks went on. But where we are now is kind of in this flatline zone of about 4,000 or so, which is still about much better than 14,000, but still, you know, about four times or so the normal. So very elevated. And these are new unemployment claims too. So this is people who are filing those claims often for the first time or after leaving the unemployment system, coming back to it. So it's not a good sign overall. And the Kenai Peninsula monthly data, this is what it looks like, you know, assessed on a monthly basis. It doesn't look quite as dramatic broken out this way, but still between March and April, you know, you had about a 300% increase in unemployment claims. And, you know, looking out to November, the most recent data we have, still significantly elevated compared to, you know, the pre-COVID months. So unemployment is still very much a problem. These are, you know, looking at it by industry, this is the where the job losses are. The only positive ones, retail, trade, and other services, which is pretty interesting that retail is up on the peninsula because it's been down pretty hard in most other parts of the state. I think this might be larger, you know, big box retail. This might be the Fred Meyer, Walmart operations, more so than smaller ones. But the ones that have taken the biggest hits there, you see leisure and hospitality, not too surprising. That's our bars, that's our restaurants, that's a lot of the hotels, a lot of the visitor serving segments of the economy. Didn't have as much of a visitor industry, a visitor season this year, you know. So it's not surprising that those are down. Our warehousing jobs, trade, transportation, utilities included as part of that, and then local government is down too. And you guys may know the story there more than I do. That does include, you know, the school district as well as municipal government, borough government. It is down a bit. These are the numbers. Most industries down. You know, it's there's some hit harder than others, and really just a few of them that are in positive territory. And even then, only 100 jobs in positive territory. So that's how it's looking. You know, compare this region to other parts of the state. Kenai Peninsula is actually faring better than the state as a whole. You can see there that the state's down, you know, 7% of its jobs, and whereas the Kenai Peninsula down about 5%. So it's a sign that maybe the downturn is a little bit moderated on the peninsula, but by a small amount. But still, the pain is very real. The northern region, that includes a lot of the North Slope jobs. And there have been some pretty sharp contractions, I think, in the oil and gas jobs that are on the slope. But you see, Anchorage has been hit harder than the state as a whole as well. So when does this all end? And we can sit, make a couple of observations about this. You know, is that recovery really doesn't happen. Recovery is contingent upon the virus being somewhat contained. And I think that there's been a lot of discussion about this and what's the effect of mandates and closures and so forth, you know, which is a hugely contentious issue, you know, where we're joining from Anchorage. What are the impacts of masks and capacity limitations and some of those kinds of things? But even regardless of that, not every place has those kinds of mandates in place, you know, either within the state or around the country. But every place does have a strong downturn. And so the evidence does point to the mandates may have some effect on you know, downturns in economic activity. But the overwhelming factor is that people are afraid of the virus itself. People don't travel. People don't go into crowded spaces, willingly in most cases because of not wanting to get infected. And so that alone causes a big downturn in terms of business activity and in terms of spending. We also think that Alaska will probably recover slower than the rest of the country, that Alaska was already kind of a weak economy going into this, and that it's probably going to have a slower recovery pathway than the nation as a whole. The country as a whole will probably bounce back relatively fast, you know, once the vaccine gets distributed a bit more widely and regular sort of habits, you know, pre-pandemic habits sort of start to resume themselves. And we have a big employment deficit to recover. You know, all that red ink, all those job losses, it takes a while for those to for there to be enough jobs growing, you know, to recover from some of those. And then we have all of our external factors to think about. You know, we don't really control what the price of oil is, what the price of seafood is. We don't control what Congress does as far as allocating relief goes. And those do have an influence as well. So one feature to this recession that is I think important to look at, and this is for Alaska as a whole, but it's also true for the nation as a whole, is that among relatively high wage workers, the recession is basically over. That high wage workers are already recovered back to what they were before the pandemic. However, lower wage workers, you know, by this estimate, are down about 26%. So those were the first workers to get laid off. A lot of the smaller retail, service sector types of jobs, those were the ones that went away, and they often, you know, pay lower wages and often go to younger people. And so those are the folks that are suffering the most. The prolonged unemployment tends to be among lower wage earners. And so the recession has that effect of being much harder on households that already can't quite afford living expenses. So that's the K-shaped recession, the diverging paths that you see. Another one I've been interested in seeing is how air travel is doing. You know, this is a pretty good indicator of how the public is feeling about things, as well as a good indicator of what the visitor industry is going to be doing. You know, this fell really dramatically early on in the pandemic. We saw it. I mean, air travel was down for some weeks down by 95%. You know, for as far compared to the same week a year prior. So air travel initially, after the pandemic really broke in March, air travel almost effectively shut down. And what's happened since then is that it's kind of inched back, you know, a little bit. So you know, we saw some recovery, a little bit more travel in the summer, a little bit more into the holiday season. You know, it's normal for people to travel a lot more around Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so where we are now, we're down about 50%. It's better than being down 90% or 80%, right? But it's still way down, right? And so if you think about that as a gauge of how of people's comfort, it shows that people are still not terribly comfortable breaking the pandemic habits, I guess. And so what does the growth path look like? The Department of Labor has done some good forecasting, and ICER, Institute for Social and Economic Research, have done some forecasting. And generally, what people are saying is that in 2020, you know, we're down as a state, 9% or so in our total employment count, and that what we're going to recover in 2021. I mean, there will be recovery, but there's a couple different ways of looking at recovery. So the job count will be up in 2021 compared to 2020, but not enough to make up for all of the jobs lost, right? So if we might be down 9% for 2020, but we're probably going to gain back somewhere between 2.5% and 3%, right? Which means that if that's the pace of recovery, then in 2022, if we gain about the same amount, and then in 2023, gain about the same amount, only by 2023 or even 2024 do we get back to where we were before the pandemic started. And you can see from this graph, I think, that 2015 was the high point in unemployment, and we'd still have a bit further to go, maybe 5 years to go, 6 years to go at that pace to actually get back to anywhere near the 2015 levels. So recovery depends on how you look at it, but it's a while before you know things get back to those levels of a few years ago. So let's talk a little bit about the Kenai Peninsula and some of its specifics now. The peninsula is in a lot of ways is performing better than maybe the state as a whole, and performing better than Anchorage in the pandemic. You know, depending on what factors you're looking at. Slightly fewer job losses on the peninsula than in Anchorage and the state as a whole, and in places like Southeast Alaska. So it's not doing too badly. I think what I like to think about with the Kenai Peninsula, what always kind of interests me about it is that it's sort of like a microcosm of the whole state in some ways, kind of shrunk down. So the Kenai Peninsula has strong commercial fisheries, but isn't Bristol Bay. You know, Bristol Bay is really economically all commercial fisheries almost, for places like Dutch Harbor, right? They're all commercial fisheries. Kenai Peninsula, strong commercial fisheries, but not entirely dependent upon them. Also oil and gas, but not the North Slope, right? The North Slope is all oil and gas in some ways. Kenai Peninsula has oil and gas as a major employer, but it isn't completely dependent upon it. Kenai Peninsula has, recreation and tourism. But isn't like Southeast Alaska, where it's very heavily dependent on that one sector. The peninsula's got all of those and isn't reliant entirely on any one of them. You've also got, vibrant healthcare sector, that provides local services, but also major employer locally, right? So you've got sections like that and other stuff that sort of spins off of these, maritime trades, you've got some agriculture. There's a pretty diverse economy here that is not necessarily typical of all regions of the state. Most regions of the state, are a little bit more dependent on one sector. And so I think that is a real source of strength. I think this another one is housing affordability and general cost of living. You look at this, the average house on the Kenai Peninsula is about $100,000 less than the average house in Anchorage. Anchorage is a very, is an overpriced housing market. So is Juneau. So is a lot of the state. Housing costs are just a big problem in Alaska as a whole. And yet here we are, the Kenai Peninsula, $100,000 less, has generally a history of a lot more housing being built on an annual basis. Housing in a lot of other parts of the state, especially in Anchorage, have been pretty stagnant. But the Matsu Valley and the Kenai Peninsula are the two places where good amount of housing supply is added each year. Costs are in the reasonable range, and that's a real strength. A lot of times in Alaska, you can't build a house And then sell it on the market and make a profit because the cost of construction is high, the cost of the land is high, and so on. But in the peninsula, that's not the case. So more functional housing market there. Kenai Peninsula has the lowest rent in the state of these areas too. Huge advantage. Apartment rentals or temporary rental space or any kind of rental housing is much better on the Kenai Peninsula than it is in any of these other areas. 30% cheaper than Sitka, which is the highest on there. So very reasonable cost of living for the most part. Now, another indicator that's gotten a lot of attention the last few years, this is the state as a whole in migration versus out migration. See, Alaska's had more people moving out of state than moving into the state since about 2012. And during our 3-year recession there, the out migration rate got pretty high. So Alaska has been losing population overall. Now the peninsula has been a little bit better than that. To have some, over the same time span, some years down, but also some in the positive territory. This is better than the state as a whole. I think that the housing cost of living, and quality of life elements, probably contribute to that pretty well. And I think that quality of life is something that is pretty important. And I know that a lot of, the local governments in the Kenai Peninsula and CAPED, have put a lot into this, that being an attractive place for people to live is an important thing. And I think that there's a lot to, that draws people to the peninsula as a place to live, in a pretty intentional way, including, retirees in a lot of cases. My grandparents moved to the peninsula in about 1985, I think, and that was where they lived. Still have a home there. My grandmother is still living, and she's in the Heritage Place in Soldotna, and so they liked the fact that it was quiet but had all of the amenity. It wasn't crowded. They got tired. Anchorage was too big for them sometimes, too noisy, but it was quiet, but still had all the services available, right? They still didn't have to sacrifice anything as far as being able to get to, a fully stocked Fred Meyer and, in a good healthcare system and a good hospital system and all of the things that they needed. So I think a lot of people seem to be in that boat. Another strength too, I think that this is a pretty good example of it. One of the elements in the CARES Act, in response to the pandemic was this AK CARES money. This was money that the federal money that came to the state to be distributed as business relief. And this went to the ARDR organizations, the Alaska Regional Development Organizations, which includes, CAPED. Because of Tim, Caitlin, Cassidy, and Abby, I think because of the CAPED team's efforts, the Kenai Peninsula got more money out to businesses than any other part of the state except for Anchorage. So even places with bigger populations, the Matsu Valley has a much bigger population than the Kenai Peninsula, the Fairbanks area, much bigger population than the Kenai Peninsula. But because of that really strong outreach, the Kenai Peninsula actually got more money out to businesses that needed it than some of these other areas did. I mean, that's a pretty impressive thing. Only 400 fewer businesses than in Anchorage, but Anchorage is about, has five times the population. So I think that's certainly a good sign of having some effective local partnerships in place. So, to kind of wrap things up, the recovery is going to take a full recovery, if we're talking about getting back to those old levels, 2019 levels, is a few years out, right? But I think that there are some sources of strength, here on the Kenai Peninsula that help mitigate some of that. Having a relatively diverse economy and some of the quality of life elements and some of the attractions, are a huge part of that. The cost of living being another major strength that is something that draws people in and doesn't force them to out migrate like they might from other places. And the local partnerships and the relief type of efforts, having strong economic development entities and those sort of stakeholder partner organizations is a really strong part of things. So let's see. So I think with that, I don't know if Margo, if you want to go straight into the SWAT section or if people have any questions or how you'd like to proceed.
I wanted to pause there and give people a moment or two to ask questions that they might have or any comments that they might have. And I want to Yeah, great shout out to KPED for the fantastic work with the CARES money. Somebody put that into the chat and I agree, it's really fantastic. But I wanted to pause there and open it up for any questions anybody might have for Nolan right now.
Hey, I'd like to also add all of the nonprofit organizations that receive funding on the Kenai Peninsula. And I don't know if there was any job loss there, but there was a good amount of grant funding that continues. So as part of the economy, the nonprofit organizations are still doing very well at this current time. But I worry about the future.
Sure, sure. Yes. And that is a good point. A lot of the relief money that was available, you know, could go to nonprofits as well as to businesses. And that is something that is always worth mentioning. And nonprofits are huge employers, right? Just as businesses are.
I'm going to say right now, but KPED is fantastic this year. When you think about the results, amazingly, you know, they were right on board for this year going through something like this. You could never prepare so fantastically for what they produced for this year. So I'm so grateful for this organization and also of your involvement with this organization. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brian. I see a question from Nicole in the chat about the Cook Inlet fishery being closed this year, being closed at one point this summer by the state, and those jobs being considered separately in any economic recovery accounting. So commercial fisheries jobs are a little bit funny because they don't count the job numbers that I showed are from the Department of Labor and they're tied to the payroll system. You know, so everybody who gets a W-2 from their employer is counted in those. And fisheries jobs don't count in that because they're non-employers, right? Basically fishermen are all independent contractors essentially. So those job numbers for commercial fisheries are a little bit trickier to get at. They do publish estimates of commercial fishing jobs, but they take a little while to get done. So they're often come a little bit later. I do think that it's pretty important that they do get counted towards the recovery, though. It's obviously those are real jobs that people depend on and major sources of income. And I think also, a lot of the Cook Inlet salmon fisheries, they do have very high, you know, local permit ownership. And local employment, you know, compared to fisheries in places like Bristol Bay, so that's that is something that's pretty important. Anything else that folks wanted to?
I would like to just also push a little bit with KPED because there's an article in the Clarion about some of the issues with what KPED has been doing with the CARES Act, and one of the comments that I think is very important for everyone on this group to realize is that KPED is private and nonprofit, and so yeah, KPED is private and nonprofit, and most of the other groups were municipal and government, and small businesses don't have just 8 to 5 to work on this project with staff members who just are looking for assistance. They have to sometimes go in other hours. And KPED's people really made themselves available at times when the small business owners could do it, not when the government hours are. And so I think it's very important to recognize that there are ways that need to be handled beyond just an 8 to 5 job kind of thing.
Very good.
Sure. That's a great point, I think. And I think that the team was pretty dedicated and put a lot of effort into making sure that businesses got the help that they needed. Thank you very much. So if there aren't any other questions, then I think I can hand things back to Margot and let her take over from there.
That was Nolan Clauda, Executive Director of the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development, which is helping develop a comprehensive economic development strategy for the Kenai Peninsula Borough in partnership with the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District. Clauda just gave an overview of the economy of the Kenai Peninsula. This is from an Economic Future Forum held January 6th by the Economic Development District. Up next, they're going to drill down farther into the specifics. the borough's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And after that, we'll hear about goals for the next 5 years. This is the Kenai Conversation on KDLL 91.9 FM. We're going to turn it back over to moderator Margot Fliss, who is the manager of strategic engagement for the Center for Economic Development.
Thanks, Nolan. I do want to go ahead and jump over to the SWOT analysis. For those who are not familiar, a SWOT analysis is, its strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats. And so when we're thinking about the first two letters, strengths and weaknesses, we're thinking about factors within the Kenai Peninsula. That could be things like workforce characteristics, training programs or higher education programs, K-12 education systems, economic development capacity, you know, what are the large employers, housing costs, cost of living, things like that. So I wanted to, we have strengths. I'm going to show these again in just a minute, but these were developed, as Tim mentioned earlier. It's a four quadrant grid that's really hard to read. So we blow these up, but we have strengths. We have weaknesses. And as I mentioned, those are factors within the Kenai Peninsula. So these were developed thinking through what are different strengths and weaknesses of the Kenai area. Then opportunities and threats are factors that are external to the Kenai Peninsula. So these are things like global market trends, you know, things that are obviously outside of the control of those living in the Kenai Peninsula, impacts from state or federal budgets, natural disasters, rising demand or falling demand from outside the region and competition from other regions, which could be other parts of the state. And it could also be, it could also be from other areas of the state or from other states, depending on the sector that we're talking about. So as I mentioned, we developed the opportunities and then threats. So I wanted you all to be able to see those. And we're going to transition now to a little bit of audience participation. And so our question was, looking over at the strengths, I'm going to read through them really quickly here. What additional strengths do you see for the Kenai Peninsula? Or it could be comments you have, questions that you have. And I'm going to go ahead and read through the strengths that we've already talked about. So far, the strengths we have are increasing graduation rates and decreased dropout rates. Over 30 organizations are leading training, education, and professional workforce development. There's established education and research facilities. There's stable government sector, including collaboration and integration at the local government level. There's opportunity for housing. Nolan mentioned that, right? Opportunity for housing on the peninsula, and housing prices are lower than in Anchorage and in the Matsu. The third lowest crime rate per capita in Alaska. The region is accessible by road, air, and water transportation, as well as rail service and Seward. There are borough-wide business resources. And again, those were mentioned, all the wonderful resources available for local businesses and nonprofits. There are two large ice-free ports with Coast Guard presence. There's an increased access to affordable energy. There are vast natural resources across the peninsula, a robust hospital and healthcare sector with many providers and specialists, and Nolan also brought that up. Increased relationships with tribal governments and Native organizations, including nonprofits and medical centers. The KPED Board of Directors is fantastic and has done a lot of work, and I think there's quite a few of them on here today. Happy to have them with us. And there's a strong nonprofit center. Just some of the examples: Senior Center, Center for Coastal Studies, Food Banks, Churches, Love Incorporated. So what additional strengths do you see for the Kenai Peninsula? What did we maybe not mention here? Is there anything that we missed? So aging population and low in-migration, as Nolan mentioned. Public revenues that support city governments, the borough, and the school district are down. The economically active population, the workforce, has been shrinking. A decreasing public school enrollment and funding instability for education at the borough and state level. higher prices than Anchorage and Mat-Su for groceries and gas. Many families have to work multiple jobs to make ends meet. Tourism sector dependence on the Lower 48 or international economic situation, Fishing sector's dependence on harvest quota and fluctuation in the number of fish. A decrease in oil production resulting from low prices and supply. The cost of energy is often a barrier to attracting new manufacturers. There's a lack of coordination and planning borough-wide. Lack of affordable mixed-use temporary or seasonal housing. Lack of human capital, particularly highly specialized trades. Inconsistent cell phone and broadband coverage and lacking communications infrastructure. Limited public transportation options. And finally, geographic dispersion, making providing services difficult, including, you know, maintaining infrastructure, access to medical and mental health care and law enforcement. So just what additional weaknesses do you see? Got a lot of great broadband. No surprise there. That's the biggest one and the top one. Broadband, I don't think should be, that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Loss of marine highway. There's a lot of great ones on here. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to our next one. We are going to be talking about opportunities. So opportunities are, again, are things, opportunities, are things that are outside of the Kenai Peninsula. That doesn't mean they're still not obviously relevant to all those who live there. But these are things that are external to the Kenai Peninsula. So, but I'm going to go ahead and read through the ones that we have for opportunities. We have potential for increase in employment in high-paying jobs in oil and gas or construction associated with the Alaska LNG project. We have an expansion of high-paying healthcare jobs. An increase in the number of medical facilities across the region, including specialist physicians and services. The diverse economic base of the peninsula spans a number of different things: tourism, ecotourism, oil and gas, fisheries, food hubs, farmers markets, healthcare, marijuana manufacturing and construction. Growing opportunities for agriculture and mariculture. The Coast Guard is looking at Homer and Seward for marine trade and vessel maintenance. Opportunities for land development, including potential housing projects. Telework and telecommuting is now accessible. I think many of us have found that to be true, as many of us have been working at home or at other places during the pandemic. High quality of life, this one is one that comes up a lot. An increased number of post-secondary professional training programs. Growth at airports and ports with more room for development. The CAPET Economic Resiliency Plan, which is opportunities for communities, and that is actually underway right now, I believe. And government and elected officials are accessible. So if there's any additional opportunities, you can add them in. Local food distribution, tourism after COVID. Those are some really interesting. Online college, that's a big one. I know when we've been having some of these meetings, we've been talking about the increased opportunities with great broadband, right? A lot of educational and work opportunities open up, and public transportation is a great opportunity, it looks like. So thank you. These are all fantastic. We're going to go ahead and move into our last one here. And same thing, we are going to be talking about threats. And again, these are external threats. So for threats, we have further decrease in oil prices, uncertain economics of the Alaska LNG, increase in salmon harvest limits in the region, seafood harvest subject to natural fluctuations, travel limitations due to disruptions in marine and air travel, the state's fiscal crisis, tax increases, cost shift to local municipalities and cuts to services, cuts to education across the board and a loss of university programs, lack of pre-K childcare, prolonged impacts from the pandemic, loss of mom and pop shop revenue with an increase in internet sales, lack of interest in scaling businesses or lack of employment drive. High unemployment is pushing down local wages and the ability to get living wages is going down, to earn a living wage, and out-migration and brain drain. You can unmute yourself and call it out, and we will be sure that we capture it.
Fire risk from beetle kill.
Thank you. That's a great excuse me, that's a great one. We will be sure to add that in. So go ahead and add in any last comments, questions. These have all been wonderful. Natural disasters, that's a big one. Climate change, lack of vaccinations, divisive politics. Lots of really good ones here. We're going to go ahead and move on to goals. As Tim mentioned earlier, and I wanted to reiterate, these are very high-level goals. They've been developed through a number of different meetings. And as Tim mentioned, I thought he did this quite well. The idea is for the goals to be quite large, right? They're supposed to be region-wide goals. And what we often find is that people like, I really have a specific thing that I'm very passionate about, I'm really excited about. That's fantastic. We'd love to hear about it. Those will often go into a subsection of the goal. So I'm going to show you really quickly here. This is an example action plan from a previous KPED SEDS. And so as you see, there's an overarching goal. This one, for example, was regional partnerships, you know, which could be talking about collaborations between municipalities, tribes, chambers, and industry groups. But there was a number of objectives or strategies underneath that. So if you look at these goals and you're like, these are quite broad, they're supposed to be. So the overarching goal that we've talked quite extensively about was quality of life, quality of place. What we were thinking, was that, you know, the Kenai Peninsula continues to develop this really wonderful kind of a brand about this is a great place to live. It's a great place to work. It's a great place to raise your family. And there's been a lot of work in the last few years over promoting recreational amenities. And with a lot of people working remotely due to the pandemic, we thought this is another time when you can kind of reinforce this is a great place to live. And when you have access to great broadband, you're often able to work, you know, teleworking or telecommute. And so kind of an overarching goal that we've been talking about was quality of life and quality of place. We felt that the other five goals identified really all we're pushing towards, this is a great place to live. And we want people to come here and work here and stay here, right? So that's kind of an overarching goal. So I wanted to go over the five goals that have been identified. The first being technology and telecommunications. With a goal of expanded broadband access across the borough. That was brought up a number of times in the SWOT analysis by many of you, right? The second goal, workforce and human capital. And the two objectives under that right now are industry partnerships and VocTech education to attract, retain, and train a qualified workforce. The third goal is around infrastructure and land use. And that's things like industry-focused infrastructure, stability and resiliency in transportation infrastructure, and mitigation/responsible use of lands. The fourth goal is business climate and entrepreneurship. And that's things like outreach, education, and information sharing with government in support of business. So helping inform about what's happening in terms of business and entrepreneurship in the Kenai Peninsula. Promoting responsible development of natural resources. Develop and support entrepreneurship. And creating incentives to bring new businesses to the area. And finally, the fifth goal is regional partnerships, which is coordinating with industry and coordinate with municipalities, communities, and nonprofits. We're gonna go ahead and wrap up. As Tim mentioned, and we've mentioned a few times throughout, it's really important, an important part of this SEDS process to really get a lot of feedback, from the community, from different organizations, and really from across the peninsula. However, this is not the end all be all. We have had some fantastic comments, questions, lots of great information shared with us today. But as Tim mentioned, we started this process in July and it's a year-long process. So there will be other opportunities to share thoughts, comments, feedback. But I wanted to turn it over to Tim to kind of wrap us up and say thank you. Tim, are you ready to take over?
Yes, I am. So, Margo, excellent. But just as has been mentioned, this is an ongoing process. Our final draft isn't going to be submitted until June. So please let me know. My contact information is up there, the phone number, the email. let me know other comments, concerns, things you agree with, things you disagree with. Also, if you have an organization or a group, somebody here on the peninsula that you think we may have forgotten to involve, let us know. I know we've heard from four different Native organizations here on the peninsula. We've heard from some Rotary groups, some, government groups, just a variety of different folks. So if you think that you need some more information or you need us to be speaking to somebody, give us a call, let us know. Margo, Nolan, the rest of your team, we're good friends, we respect each other, and we're great partners. And I think that's one of the reasons why CAPED is looked at statewide for the things that we're doing. It's because we have people on our side like Nolan and Margo and Gretchen and everybody else. They're just outstanding partners for us. So again, additional comments, let us know. Abby, Cassidy, Caitlin, you guys are the best. Thank you so much.
That was Tim Dillon, Executive Director of the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District. KPED can be reached at kped.org or 283-3335. That was the 2021 Economic Future Forum put on by KPED with help from Margo Fliss and Nolan Clauda from the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development. You can see the plan they're working on, the Kenai Peninsula Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy for 2021 to 2026, at kped.org under the Presentations tab. I'm Jenny Nyman. This has been the Kenai Conversation on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL Kenai Soldotna 91.9 FM. Thanks for tuning in.